This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Stan Allen.
Hello. Thank you. Thank you. I'm Stan Allen, or TGWTR, depending on your point of view. All right. Yes. It is my pleasure to take just a couple moments and welcome you to Las Vegas, welcome you to Magic Live, and welcome you to the road less traveled. I'm going to explain that a little bit. As kids, I don't know about you, but in our neighborhood, we could spend hours and hours just poking around in our backyard. Our imagination's on overtime. I think it was like discovery mode, but we didn't know we were in discovering things. We were just curious about things. And as I've gotten older, I've come to believe that curiosity is not only the cure for boredom, it is also the secret formula for staying young. And as magicians, well, we are born into magic and into it with an abundance of curiosity. Of course, as we grow up a little bit, we have bills to pay, we have responsibilities to meet, and some of that curiosity drifts away. And what we're trying to do with Take the Road Less Travel is to nudge us all back towards that curiosity, to take a couple side trips, to experiment. Now, we have a few here that we brought in for the convention. We have some presentations that, trust me, are off the beaten path. We have some, well, we have an interactive puzzle experience, something totally different, upstairs today and tomorrow. And we have some performance that hopefully you've never seen and we get to introduce you to. But the most important part is you. So we encourage you to go to a focus session maybe you wouldn't go to stop by the dealer's booth you've walked by a dozen times and you really don't know what they do. Find out what they do. Spend time with new people. Invite a new person to lunch with your group and have all new conversation. Don't be surprised if these side trips, one or two of them, turn into a favorite destination for you in the future. That happens a lot. Okay, so here we are. We want to take some side trips, right? We want to get off the beaten path. You can do that by choosing to pull off the freeway, or you can run square into a detour, and that's what happened to me about 4 months ago. Two magicians came to me and suggested that we open up a conversation about women and magic at Magic Live this year. These magicians happen to be women, both well-known in the trade. And I was listening, but I wasn't all that intrigued. And then everything changed. Bam, big detour sign got up in my face. When one of the ladies casually mentioned that she doesn't like to go to the Magic Castle alone. Why not? You're a member. You're a performing member. Why would you? She says, I'm not as comfortable. That people treat her different. Men treat her different when she's not with a friend, possibly a boyfriend or another friend of some kind. And that they don't treat her just like a magician who's there to learn just like they are. They treat her as possibly, well, maybe there's something else. So my reaction to this was, you gotta be kidding me. I never thought of it. But she went on to tell me that it was the same way in her magic club, and that it was the same way at magic conventions. And I said, well, not Magic Live. Yeah, true story. I went home that night and I told my wife, you know, people make inappropriate comments and things, it's jokes and everything, and they were saying this. And my wife said, hello? You want to know more about that? Go talk to your daughters. What? So I sat down with my daughters, and they're looking at me like, duh. Okay, they look at me a lot that way. You understand, right? Yeah, you get that. I know. But over the next couple of months, I talked to a number of women. I talked to a couple men. The women all said, duh. The men all said, what are you talking about? You're gonna be kidding me. The magic world? And I came to conclude that our community is not as welcoming and nurturing as I thought it was. And that a lot of other people think it is. And this really hit home for me because I am the product of two very nurturing organizations. The first, a junior club in Long Beach that welcomed everyone to come in, and we learned from each other lots. And that was in my teens. In my 20s, I joined the Magic Castle and I started performing. And it was just such a nurturing environment. People like Billy McComb, seeing your act, and going upstairs, digging something out of the library and bringing it back and saying, have you ever tried this? That's just a really home feeling. And so I realized, as I thought about that, if I hadn't had those two nurturing organizations, I probably wouldn't be standing here. I wouldn't have had the life that I've had. I wouldn't have the amazing friends, and I pretty much guarantee we wouldn't be meeting at something called Magic Live. I most likely would have drifted away into something else. And that raises the big question, who are we letting drift away, and what could they possibly have brought to our art and we are losing? So, I recognize that women and magic, it's a complicated issue. When you start getting into allegations of sexual misconduct or the sexuality of how you pose in pictures and what you play off and what you choose not to play off. These are complicated issues and I do not have the answers for those issues. And what I'm afraid is whenever we talk about women and magic, we get hijacked into those conversations that are very big. So I'm gonna simplify it today. I'm gonna simplify it at this convention. I'd like to simplify it for the upcoming year. Let's just find ways to make women, I'm talking to the men now, women comfortable in our community. So men, how do we do this? Simple. Ask. Just ask. There are women in your club probably, ask them. There are amazing women here at this convention, ask them. Women, it's a little trickier. Speak up. Go ahead and speak up when something is uncomfortable. We are on Mars. Or we're men on Venus. I can never remember which one we were on. We were on one of them, I know. I just know it was a different language. You know. But I think this. I think together of all of us, just try to move that needle a little tiny bit. Just try to make people a little more comfortable in our community. That we can do great, great things over the next year and the coming years. And to check on that, next year at Magic Live, I'm going to have a little discussion on this stage with men and women about how it's changed and how we can all say, wow, you've got to be kidding me, and mean it in a totally different way. Thanks, let's do it.
Well, thanks, Rexy, do you agree?
Oh man.
I'm gonna get out of your way.
I have a lot to say on this.
All right, well, we finished the morning session over there, and what you just heard Stan Allen talking about was about what male magicians should do and how they should treat female magicians and being more welcoming and everything. And so I've got Trixie Bond with me here now. Hi, Trixie.
Hi there, Scott.
And you may have seen her before. She was on the cover of one of the Magic magazines. And so you've attended a lot of these conventions, I guess, the past two, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes. And so the point is that she's been around and with Magic, and you guys all know her as being a top children's show entertainer. Besides that, of course, she does great, excellent close-up magic, everything else. Anyhow, she's a woman. And so I wanted to kind of get your perspective from that standpoint, because you said, oh, I got things to say.
Yes, and I was very riled up during the discussion, but you know, I've had a few moments to think this over, and in retrospect, I'm very glad Stan brought up this topic to talk about. I've been doing magic, or in the magic world, for at least 50 years, so I grew up as one of the guys, especially from time 11 to, say, 20.
Not just in the club, but I mean, you used to go with your dad, you go out like to the coffee shop with all the
round tables.
Yeah, round tables, yes. And things like that with male magicians. And how were you treated back then?
like a little kid.
Were you?
Yes.
An equal kid, a boy or a girl, didn't matter.
Because most of the guys were sitting around showing each other things, and they just needed an audience, and I was a good audience. But when I got very active in the Houston Junior Magicians, of course I was the only girl at that time, and there was absolutely no discrimination. I was just one of the guys. It sounded much like what Stan was saying as the Mystics
Club. Yeah, Long Beach Mystics, yeah.
That he was in. The Houston Junior Magicians did lots of things, nurtured some really famous people that have come up,
mm-hmm.
like Peter Studebaker, Mark Masterson, who went on to become artistic director for theaters in Louisville, Philadelphia. Now he's in California. So it was a very wonderful way to brainstorm and create. The only time I've felt treated differently as more of a mature woman that has the chops, and then perhaps some of the male magicians don't really want to share. But does this mean that they were intimidated? Oh, no. But did they think it was better suited to somebody else, perhaps?
I mean, but you don't think they shared necessarily just because you were a female. It was just they didn't share with anybody because it was pet secrets and they wanted to.
No.
Yeah, yeah. But so you always felt like one of the guys.
Sure.
So what do you think then right now, what his opinion is, Stan is suggesting, that we
How do we open the dialogue to see what makes a difference?
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody's going to be truly truthful. When you ask that question and get an answer, it's just nice that he said that. So perhaps if a woman is at a magic club meeting, ask her to perform. Show her things without being overbearing or inappropriate, just like you would a guy.
Particularly children. You know, that there are some parents who bring in their children, and we've had some women who have brought in their daughters. And you really don't want to do something that's going to frighten the child by being too overbearing and trying to be too helpful. You know, I think that we in general, in Houston at least, will always try to encourage youth, whether it's a male or female, it really doesn't matter.
That's what I see, too.
Yes.
I don't know how it is
at other clubs. So.
Correct.
So whenever he made the comment that, that women are treated differently,
well,
like going to the Magic Castle that as a woman, that you would want to go with somebody else as opposed to going by yourself because you feel like you might get hit on or something, I guess.
Oh, jeez. I didn't feel that way at all, and I've been there by myself.
Several
without
times.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And you're an attractive lady, so didn't feel like you were going to be having someone come and talk to you.
No.
Yeah.
But people, if you're approachable, they're approachable. If you're curious and interested.
Well, that's the thing. You know, like when you do close-up magic and you dress elegantly in a gown and we are, adults of a certain age, and so whenever that we go and entertain, when you walk up to a group, how do you approach a group as a woman as opposed to, it's like, what is this woman coming and talking to me about? What do you say to a group when you walk up to them?
Hello. That's a good, what a good opener.
Yeah.
And I'll make just some small talk and draw them in. Why are they at this function?
Yeah.
Why I'm at this function.
Yeah.
And then we go from there. Or sometimes I just, depends on the mood of the crowd, the personalities of the folks that you're talking to.
Sure.
If you want to just go right into kind of poking some fun at a guy or engaging him, and then when the magic happens, everybody relaxes and starts laughing. But I've never had it taken as a come on.
Yeah, that's interesting.
No. I mean,
I was thinking of a different direction, that when you do become a certain age and that you are no longer a child, there are different characters that you can take. Certainly.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I've been through all the three stages.
What's that?
Oh, youth, middle age, and my, you're looking good.
Okay.
So as a youth, it was just spontaneous and fun.
Yeah.
Then as 20 to 40, maybe 50. It was flirtatious and fun mm-hmm. and elegant, and I'm still trying to figure out this grandma thing. Because, yeah. You know, working a corporate event as a woman over the age of 60 is a little challenging because the pattern, the personality you use when you were 30, 40, 50s,
right.
It doesn't fly.
Right. I wouldn't think so.
No. So it's...
See, people know that, too. I think it's the same thing, like some people who...
Well, guys get icky when they do the same routine they did when they were 18.
That's where the word cheesy comes in.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that cheesy comes from not evolving who you are or your performance style.
Yeah. So, to wrap up over here, as far as what recommendations would you make as a woman for how males should treat females in magic clubs?
Friendly, like a buddy. I mean, talk to them, show them things, ask them if there's anything they're working on without being anything more than just a friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's good advice. And I think what Stan had done was a good thing, at least opening a dialogue so these kinds of conversations can happen. So that within clubs, perhaps that might be something the guys who are listening to this and gals who are listening to this, perhaps they can go back to their club meetings and open up this discussion to find out how that they can perhaps embrace.
Right. Without automatically assuming that woman at your club meeting is a clown, a face painter, or balloon artist.
That's funny. You're right. That's a good point. You just kind of make those assumptions. Yeah, that's right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, because she could have just as
better chops. She could be
chops.
Suzanne, right?
Suzanne. Boy, how well can you... You said it all right there. It could be another Suzanne right there. You know,
there you go.
Winner of the Close-Up Magician of the Year at the Magic Castle. Suzanne is great. She's a wonderful lady. And there are so many good women in magic, but the problem is, right now, there are just a handful that we know. Hopefully, there will be bushels in the future.
Yes, and there's some wonderful young women in their 20s to 40s coming up.
Kayla Drescher, so many others, you know, like that, young ladies who are very good, right?
And it's wonderful to see the more mature women evolving as well, like Margaret Steele and Tina Leonard. And
right, yeah.
Right?
Good point. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Trixie, as always. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Trixie Bond, and this is Scotty out. Well, we just finished the first general session, and I am here walking with Bill Hurst. Hello, Bill.
Hello there, Scott. How are you?
Fine, thank you, with Magic Corp. And I was just talking with Jeff and Tess Evison earlier, and they were saying that you were going to be... I remember we talked before about you producing the Michael Carbonaro show, and I guess people had contacted you and said, hey, what else you got? So you got something going on? What's happening?
Yes, we're doing a show called Mischief Live, and it's about the best magic cast I've ever worked with. It's you'll see five or six of the these 10 people, and the 10 people are Matt King, David Williamson, Rob Zabrecki, Chad Long, Derek Hughes, John Armstrong, Eric Dittleman, the Evisons. Who am I forgetting?
You can't say Chad Long.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of no-name people, obviously.
Exactly.
Holy cow.
It's all on the same show? All on the same... Rob Zabrecki.
Yeah.
Yes, well, not all of them. You'll see five or six of them, and you never know until you get to the show who you're going to see.
Okay.
And it's a completely different type of show because it's going to be comedy-driven. It's going to be much more interactive with the audience, much lower production than the big traveling shows that are out there now.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be fun production, but not a...
Smaller theaters, then?
No. Oh. Actually, they're going to be... our first four shows that are booked are going to be in 2,000-seat theaters.
Okay, good.
So,
are you
going to
be going back and retracing some of the same places you were with
we are.
Mr. Carbonaro?
Yes, okay. We are. And then...
so that means you'll get to come back and see us, hopefully.
No, we don't know. I'd like to try shows out in the Midwest, and so we're going to be in Cedar Rapids, we're going to be in Rockford, Illinois, we're going to be in Milwaukee, and we're going to be in Peoria.
And when will this all begin?
Starting October 5th. If you go to mischiefliveontour.com, the schedule is up there, and you can even buy tickets, and they're on sale now. So it's going to be we'll see if there's a market out there for it. It's all legalized gambling when it comes to producing theater shows.
Well, and you did a great job with it last one, and so I'm sure that's why.
The Carbonaro tour, by the way, is going back out on Yeah, and it's if you go to michaelcarbonaro.com,
okay,
the schedule is up there, and it's he's going to be a tired boy.
Yeah, well.
He's got an amazing schedule coming up.
Plus his television schedule and everything else, I guess, for his, what, sixth season or something?
Yeah,
or?
And going to have, yeah, that's exactly right,
okay.
His sixth season, mm-hmm. So. Yeah, so it'll be
pretty
great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we'd like to talk a lot more. I know you got some other things you're going to be doing. There's Jeff and Tessa right now.
Right.
Then, hey, so a couple of the stars
of
the tour.
There are two of the stars now. Yeah.
All righty. Well, you got to run then real quickly, so I'll let you go.
All right.
We can talk more about
anytime
this
anytime you
later.
Want.
Bill,
I would like to.
Very
I just
got
to.
Okay.
You bet.
That's
thanks.
Scotty out. Well, we're here at the focus session, getting ready for the first one, and I'm going to be listening to Richard Hatch talking about the expert at the card table, Erden Ace, but I'm sitting here then with Arthur Trace. Hello, Arthur.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
We're doing fine. little guy behind the mic.
Yeah.
We were just talking, in 2009, you and Michael Mode had given the election. That was the last time you were here when you were working it, actually.
That was the last time I was here, you know, what was it, 2009? I don't get a chance to go out to many conventions.
I know, unless you're working it.
Exactly. So, I mean, usually... I treat magic as a passion, and also it's my work.
Sure.
So usually when I like to relax, it's typically not at a magic convention. Nothing, no offense to magic conventions, but
it's like
this
a bus
one
driver's
could,
holiday. Kind
yeah,
of thing. Yeah,
this one I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
So
so it's been a number of years. I assume that one of the reasons you haven't attended in the past is because that you've been working.
I've been working. The last one of these was just last year, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so last year I was working 4 months in Macau at Franz Ferrari's house.
Oh, your Franz thing? Okay, great. Nice.
I did 383 shows in 4 months.
Wow.
So.
Wow. How many is that a day? It's like seven a day or something?
Well, during the weekday, we would... So the way it works, during the weekday, we would do anywhere between 3 and 6 shows a day.
Uh-huh.
During the weekends, it was anywhere from 4 to 8 shows. And what really determined the amount of shows we did each day was how busy it was, obviously. So during... their holidays, it would be super busy, so we'd do maximum capacity, maximum number of shows each day. Oh, look at that. Raphael's announcing the session.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, this morning I understand that they had Fielding West was announcing a session. So, anyhow, yep, he is.
To be continued.
To be continued. We'll catch you later. Thank you very much. All right, we're back again after the presentation by Richard Hatch. Yeah, it was fascinating, wasn't it?
Very fascinating. For those of you who aren't here, you should have come.
really, yes. I mean, first of all, Richard Hatch is just the expert, I think, on the search for Erden Ace, you know, and he's been doing this for years, and he ran through a lot of stuff, and this could have gone on for probably 2 hours. And but even so, yeah, there are still a lot of unanswered questions.
There are, and it makes me think, will we ever know for sure? I mean... we could, and as Richard has, pinpoint various candidates to a certain postulated degree of certainty, but whether we can get the smoking gun, so to speak, I don't know.
But do you think we really want to know? I mean, it's one of those things that's a mystery to magicians that is unsolved, and once it is, then will
there's
that be the
last? There's a certain romance to not knowing it, and that's why I think one of the reasons, the legend has just... perpetuated itself into this growing popularity, especially with a lot of the younger card guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Well, listen, I know we got to run to the next thing over here then as well. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time over there, Arthur.
Pleasure, Scott.
Very good seeing you. Until next time, that was Arthur Trace.
Scotty out.
All right, well, as I'm getting ready to go between from one event to another over here, just wrapping up with Dick Hatch and talking about who was Erden Ace. I run into Harry Monty. Hello, Harry.
good afternoon.
And we were just talking about the Magic Castle, and that you have been performing there for every year it's open, like 52 years?
Yeah, 53.
53, okay.
53, yeah.
And you said, I think that you're going to end that record.
I think so. I'm falling apart. Take
and
it easy.
You said, what, you're 83?
On the 17th.
On the 17th, this month.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's just coming up, at the end of the week.
Yeah.
That you will be.
Next week.
Now, on all those times that you go, do you do a different act every year when you go to the castle, or what do you do?
Oh, well, I've worked all the different rooms, so
yeah. Of
course I've done different things, but basically I have a core of facts that I stick, but then change the others.
But you do change a few things around a little bit then?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. You know, whenever I go back over there, I always try to have something a completely different set, you know, but you're saying you have a core of things and you kind of plug and play other things around it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because particularly nowadays, your audiences are 90-95% laymen.
That's
know,
right.
So it's the first time they've seen you.
Right, you can do the same thing again, I guess, the next year. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, and that's who you're really trying to entertain there, because most of the members, by and large, are non-magicians, actually.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. In the old days, it was just vice versa, of course.
Right.
I mean, you go into work, and you're Vernon and all these guys
yeah.
sitting around.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a lot different.
And what about coming to Magic Live? You've been coming to these probably, every one of these as well?
Yeah, I think I've made all of them.
Anything that sticks out in your mind over the past several years of Magic Live of something that...
Yeah, well, I was just talking about it to someone else today. The events when they had all the different performers set in their own kind of facility.
Oh, yes.
Eric Mead, I think, was doing bar magic.
And Doc Eason, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Paul or Gertner was maybe doing a trade show booth or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And you just move from one to the other, and mm-hmm. I thought that was tremendous.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was one of the very best events.
One of the things that I remember, one of my favorites, was whenever they did the sawing illusion. And, you know, each person did a different variation. You know, it was the Pendragons, and David Charvet, I think, was as
with the Blackstone.
Blackstone Jr. Yeah, yeah, that was something.
Yes. There have been a lot of memorable moments there. Right?
Yeah. If people haven't been to this convention, they're planning it again next year in 18, and you ought to come. So it's, always good, something different, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the very best, I think.
Now, yours over in St. Louis, the Midwest Magic Jubilee, has been going on for a long number of years also, and you've been intimately involved in that, too.
Yeah, I produced it for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough now for smaller conventions to, you know, go through. You've got these mega conventions, the Genie and this and all. Mm-hmm. So it's tougher on the guys.
A lot of the, I say smaller ones, the ones that are regional, I guess, conventions. I mean, like our Texas Association of Magicians has gone down. When I was president in 2000, we had, that was the last time we had over 1,000 registrants. And now, you know, we're pretty much lucky if we get 350 to 500, you know.
Same with the Jubilee. Mm-hmm. And then the guys that are running it, I don't know, some just don't seem to have the great interest in it or the, mm-hmm. the knowledge of what's going on in magic.
Right. Times change a little bit. Yeah, they do, certainly. Well, Harry, thanks very much for your time. Glad you're enjoying it. Always a pleasure to see you.
Thank you. It's always nice to see you, Scott.
All right. And so for Magic Live, that was Harry Monte. Scotty out. Well, we're in the dealer's room now that the focus sessions are over. I was just listening to the second one here this afternoon with Anthony Owens, who was talking about mentalism. And the other one that I didn't catch, because you only get to catch two out of three, was the one with Ken Scott talking about children's magic. But I'm here right now kind of revisiting a little bit with a friend that we talked with earlier, master illusion builder and friend of the Magic Court, Bill Smith. Hey there, Bill.
Hey, how you doing? Another great Magic Live. Everybody should be here.
Yes, they should.
While you were seeing those other ones, I saw the Erdnase one.
I know, I saw that first.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes.
It was
great. I forgot that, yes, it was Erdnase. Yeah.
Well, he had done it on some of the collector's things.
Now, he probably had a lot more time with the collector's.
No, and, I think, you saw the first one?
I saw the first one.
Yeah, because he went long, and I'm saying, how was he going to do all of that stuff that fast? But it was great. I saw him when he did it at the history conference. I'm not a card guy, but at the history of that and the detective work and all that. When he talked about David Alexander, he was one of my Long Beach Mystic friends that passed away several years ago.
Okay,
and he was a PI, a private detective,
So who had actually done some work and looking into
private investigator. So,
well, you know, there was a fella, and I done a podcast with this guy earlier. I'm not released it yet. Who's actually putting out a documentary, and it's called The Expert. Trying to find out.
No.
He's trying to put together his crowdfunding project right now to raising some money for the movie. The documentary. He apparently, his full-time job is as a cameraman. He's working with The Bachelor, I think it is, TV show, reality show.
Right.
And so, anyhow, he hasn't got the thing ready yet, so he said, don't release it until I got... Anyhow, just giving everybody a little bit of a sneak preview of one that's coming up.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I'm a real skeptic. I don't believe anybody really knows.
Do we really want to know, though?
Yeah, but it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
The fact that this guy could write this book, and now these books are worth $15,000. first edition.
Yeah.
And it was the definitive book on card slides.
Yeah.
So, and the fact that it's a big mystery on as a historian, and I really love that kind of stuff.
Right.
It was really great. So.
As was Mike Cabney. I know that Mike was
involved. No, he's one of my best friends.
Well. Yeah, I know so, that. That's why I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, we talked about the Carter Show and all of that. So.
Yeah. And I love the book that Mike had done also on Carter.
Yeah,
basically, when we
bought the show, he got all the correspondence, and that's where he that's where it came from. So the start of the book. So,
and you were talking about that you guys had gotten to know that was the paper that was at Muldoon's. I mean,
Earthquake Muldoon's.
Earthquake Muldoon's. Yeah.
Basically, we got it when it had been so picked over the collection that all the correspondence was still there. But we got some of the illusions. Some of them had caught on fire. Mm-hmm. Costumes were been stolen over the years. It was in pretty bad shape. So I restored a lot of the equipment. And a lot of it ended up in David Copperfield's museum.
Oh,
so,
interesting. Yeah. You know, when I was chatting with Martin Lewis, and I haven't released that one. That's another one that's in the can right now. That he was talking about how that was all found back behind the brick wall, I guess. But it was known by the owner, I guess, that it was behind
No, it wasn't a brick wall. That was the whole big story.
Oh.
It was just stored in a place.
I got you.
And it was like they stopped paying their storage fees, and then it was like, okay, we get it.
We can get some money back.
Yeah, there's all so many different stories. But
okay, well, that's kind of interesting how that all kind of went around then as well.
Okay, well, nice catching up.
Good catching up with you as well. And that, I know that people wish that they could be here, but this is the next
it's
best
the
thing.
It's the best. It really is.
One quick thing I want to ask you, since you've been coming for all the years in, too, is there one memory that sticks out? Well, this we're just getting started.
Right now, the one with Abby.
Yeah, with Abby this morning. Abby Goldrake brought me to tears.
I know them well. David's one of my customers.
Yeah.
I was around when it all...
When she fell?
When it went down. I heard about it. It happened in Luxembourg.
Okay.
I heard about it immediately. And I've just been part of seeing her coming back like this. And that was just an unbelievable...
For those who didn't see it and weren't here, then essentially just want to recap real quick what about her falling and her...
They were doing a double levitation, and things just went wrong, and she basically it came falling down.
And had a spinal injury.
Yeah, spinal injury, and they said they didn't think she would be able to walk or even breathe, and she came back, she did a very touching talk, and got up and was able to walk off the stage.
I don't know where you were sitting.
Can you see in the wings?
Stage right, no. Was that her husband? Was that David?
That was David Goldrake. He lifted her up in the wings and carried her back.
Back the rest of the way.
And half the audience didn't really see that, but that was so touching. I mean, it was where I was sitting, everybody was crying around it.
We were included. And she got a standing ovation as she was walking.
I know. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So.
That was a highlight, I'd say, there
okay,
as well.
Okay, well, have fun.
Thanks again, Bill.
Okay.
Magic word. Bill Smith. Scotty out. All right, well, we are waiting in line then right now for the evening show, and I ran across John McClanahan, who is the owner of the Magic Shop here in what's it called now, John? Top Hat and Wand?
Yes.
Magic Shop, Shoppe.
Right, Shoppe.
John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you, Scott?
Fantastic. So you bought it in November and it was closed in January. What was the story or what happened?
I didn't really buy it. Denny had run up some bills to the tune of about $8,000. Mm-hmm. Scott Brown was going to have to close it. He was the guy working there. And he came to me one day and said, you got to close. And I said, no, you don't. He explained to me what was going on. He had all these bills. And so I said, we're gonna take it over.
Yeah.
And basically, we just took it over because Denny...
Lock, stock, and barrel.
What was left of it. Yeah. There wasn't a whole lot left.
So he wasn't replenishing the stock or anything?
No. And it wasn't kept clean, among other things. And... we paneled all the walls. We put new light fixtures in, new ceiling panels, new stuff in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Got it all closed up and opened about the 1st of January. And it's been, okay, we're not making $1 million, but we're paying the bills.
Good. That's a good thing. So it was a smooth transition.
Yeah. And we sent letters to Denny that said there were some things that he wanted sent to him. And we said, look, send us the check for $8,000 and we'll send you the stuff you want. And he didn't respond any. And so I just took it over.
Yeah,
but it's been an eye opener about licenses and all that stuff.
I'm sure that's true. I hadn't thought about the licenses and permits and what all. But what about just why would you invest in a brick and mortar magic shop in today's environment with online magic shops
for
prevailing?
Three reasons. First of all, I was too stupid to realize it was bad then. Second, because Vegas needs a place that professionals can come to buy stuff.
And well, you got Gino Minari's, you know, yeah. Houdini's and other places, I know.
Yes, yeah, through tourists.
Okay.
And those were the two reasons. And another reason was Scott was on the lease for the building and for the taxes, and they were coming after him.
Oh.
And I just couldn't let that
He's
happen.
Too nice of a guy.
He's too nice yeah. of a guy. And so he's my partner. He's doing great.
Good.
We've got four other guys working for us. And it's going well.
And you open 7 days a week?
No, we're opened Monday and Tuesday from 10 to 6. Closed Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, 10 to 6. Saturday, 11 to 5. And closed Sunday.
And for those who remember where Denny and Lee's was.
Yeah, 5115 Dean Martin Drive, number 102, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Right down the street from my favorite place at the In-N-Out.
Yep, right down the street from that.
Okay, it's walking distance from In-N-Out almost.
Oh, yeah. And we have IBM ring meetings there.
And you host some of the lectures, too.
And we host the lectures, too. So it's been really great.
Yeah.
I learned about licenses when a couple weeks after we opened, a man walked in with a suit on and a clipboard under his hand. And I said, he's not here to buy magic. And he said, I'm going to cite you because you don't have a city license. Well, I got a business license. I knew I had to have that.
Yeah.
So I had to get a city license. A couple of weeks later, somebody else walked in and said, you don't have a county license. A couple of weeks later, you don't have a state license.
Yeah.
So I learned about licenses. They're all on the wall, so anybody comes in can see them. And know
you're all papered right now.
We are papered up. Yeah. We're set.
And so when people come into town, they ought to stop by and see, particularly if you're needing some sort of a professional prop of some sort.
And we say that if we don't have what we want, we'll order it for you.
Yeah.
And usually get it within a week.
Well, there are a lot of guys who are coming to town who are working trade shows, and they're missing something, broke something, need something, they probably stop by a lot.
Yeah. We've got some advertising. Denny did no advertising at all.
Yeah.
We're in Mom, Linking Ring, Genie, and the Fellowship of Christian Magicians. We run ads on all of those.
Okay.
And it's been fun. It's an experience, and I'm real pleased with it. And I got to say, I'm proud of it.
Good. Glad you are. Congratulations.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck with
Thanks
that.
Luck.
Good.
Luck.
So with Magic Word Podcast, that was John McClenahan. This is Scotty out. Okay, we're getting ready for the evening show then right now. But before it begins, I'm sitting here next to Mark Holstein. Hey there, Mark.
Hey, how are you doing, Scott?
Fantastic, sir. And how are you enjoying the convention so far? It's just like day one and a half, I guess.
Yeah, well, it means we're not exhausted yet, right? But it's, I mean, the opening day was amazing. Of course, Abby Goldrake stole the show this morning. The general session.
It was so emotional and so
not
good.
A dry eye in the house, I'd say. And
when Abby Goldrake had given that presentation, I mean, it wasn't a dry eye in the house.
Not at all. What a story of courage and just perseverance. Really impressive.
Quite amazing.
And
so,
then we did the Thayer event. Did you do that?
No, I'm going to do that
okay.
tomorrow.
I don't want to tell you too much about it.
It's
but
a puzzle, I understand.
It is. It's really
interactive kind of
It's
event.
Really neat, and it's astonishing how much work the team put into it. You'll be blown away, and I don't want to really say too much about it.
Please don't. No.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I really want to find out. I really want to do it. And I know every year that Stan has something that's different, you know, like a few years ago that he had this thing where that you had the sensory deprivation, you know, where you were blindfolded.
Yeah, I wasn't here for that, but this is completely different to that.
Yeah. Oh, I know, but my point is something different. He's had a museum, you know, that has come out or different kinds of things. So he always has something different. So this is the different thing this year.
Is the different
Richard Wiseman was a great thing, you know, last year with the thing. So, yeah, I'm sure that's going to be awesome.
Absolutely.
Did you go in and hear Richard today talk about Richard?
I did. And I shouldn't admit that here on the recording, but I've seen Richard and Jason talk about Erdnase before, and I really wanted to see the mentalism presentation, which was terrific, and then Ken Scott is always fantastic, so that's what we did.
Now, you know, we are talking also about Magic Live, which was Magic Magazine, and one of the editors for a long time was John Mooring. He was a very close friend of yours.
Yes.
And we have planned the memorial service for August the 26th.
That's exactly right, yes.
Any comments or things you want to say about John? And
well, you know, I thought that a number of people have commented to me that nobody was nicer in Magic, and I think that really does capture John. In fact, Mike Caveney said to me at Abbott's this year, I can't think of a single negative thing to say about John Mooring. And I think we'd all say that.
That
he's
would.
Just wonderful.
Nice guy. Yeah.
That's a pretty good legacy to leave.
It is. I never heard him say a crossword about anybody.
No.
If he had something to say, he would keep it to himself.
That's right.
You know, he was a very quiet man, but he Yeah, very generous and very great. Well, also being from Chicago as you are, that you knew Eugene Berger too.
Absolutely.
There's another guy that must have.
Yeah, I've known Gene for 35 years maybe.
Okay.
And he was just a fixture in our community in Chicago, mm-hmm. and very generous and giving person. So, yeah, he will leave a huge hole in the Magic community.
Really,
it's really hard to imagine.
Yeah. Now, also, you had just returned. You've been the stage manager in Colon for
yes.
Get Together for, what, 25, 26 years?
Oh, well, this was my 40th consecutive Get Together.
Oh,
but
man.
I did the first three or four, I was not the stage manager.
Okay.
So it's 36 years, I guess, that
yeah.
I worked backstage. And, yeah, it's amazing. I can't believe that many years have gone by.
We're getting older, but yeah, they seem to be flying by now as we're getting
that's
older.
That's right.
You know, the younger people probably think, I can't wait for tomorrow. Well,
I
now
know.
It's like, I can't wait for yesterday.
It's true. The Get Together was amazing this year. It was the 80th anniversary of the Abbott's Get Together.
Yes.
As a result, they really pulled out all the stops in booking talent. So we had four absolutely blockbuster shows, plus a matinee that David Charvet put on.
Who were some of the people who were on the bill this
year? Well, the Saturday night show was predominantly Mark and Ginger Kalin.
Awesome.
And I've seen them many times, but I've
sure.
never worked with them. And they are just the consummate professionals.
Mm-hmm.
So that was an incredible show. Friday night show was put together by Mike Caveney. And it was Tina, Chris Hart, Arden James, and maybe I'm forgetting somebody. Again, Mark Kornhauser.
Okay.
Absolutely fantastic show.
I've seen them work together at the Magic Castle
yeah.
at the stage. So they've really got a tight act.
Oh, yeah. And it was just fabulous. Really, and we had Richard Turner for the first time at Abbott's.
Really?
And I think he had a blast. Certainly he was super well received.
Yes.
We brought in special video equipment so we could be sure.
Everybody could see what he was doing.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can't see what he's doing because...
Yeah, no. And you that's right. It's
yeah.
truly close up.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. So it was a very successful get-together.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
And one of the surprise announcements was...
Well... I don't know that I completely understand the status.
Apparently, it was quite vague.
Yes.
You know, that Greg Bordner is turning it over to Derek Kennedy. And so I need to talk to Derek and have a podcast, I guess, and chat with him more details.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, my hope is that they come together on a deal that makes sense for both of them.
Sure.
And that it results in Abbott's and the get-together continuing for a long time into the future. That's really what we all want.
Of course.
But, you know, there are a lot of rumors flying around, and I guess my counsel would be, I've worked with and for Greg for 35 years, and
yeah.
I don't know that there's been a sale. So I think we should wait, and when they're ready to announce it, we'll all know.
Okay, so it's not official?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So it's just,
I think it's what they hope to be able to accomplish.
So they've kind of had a handshake as far as an agreement to agree, but they don't know what that agreement is going to be.
I don't really know the details.
Okay, no, that's okay.
Yeah, all I know is it isn't done until it's done.
Yeah, it's not, like Yoga Berra would say.
Right.
Okay. So, thank you very much, Mark.
Hey, my pleasure.
Always good to see you.
Yeah,
friend.
We'll see you around the convention for sure.
That's right. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Mark Holstein. This is Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells from the MagicWordPodcast.com, and I've got David Copperfield here at his museum. We've just been honoring our friend Walter Zaney Blaney, and you, David, have gotten all of Walter's collection of all of his things, I guess, and you were saying earlier that he's been an inspiration to you.
Totally inspiration. I mean, I've admired his work ethic and his comedy and his invention skills and just his spirit, and what can be better than that? Just the combination of inventor, a performer, of comedian, and of perseverer, the way he marketed himself with little 45 records, and just there's so many lessons to be learned.
Right, and the way that he would always go out and try and find the next job and the places that he worked, and one right after the other, certainly thousands of shows and everything, you know, that was really back when it was on the road, and it was a lot more, I mean, you've been traveling on the road, certainly it is difficult with all the however many trailers that you've got, but golly, of him traveling just by himself without the assistance.
Incredible,
had
right?
Been,
incredible.
So. Had to have been very difficult, so I'm sure he's been... someone who's been an inspiration then to you. So
big time.
Now his, I remember whenever that you were doing his ladder levitation, and at that time it seems like there was a song that was a U2 song. It's like I still haven't found, you know, the right one. I was thinking, okay, it's a great illusion, but if I could fly, you know. So I was thinking, once you could start flying, it's like I found it. Was that kind of what was going on when you were, you know, finding the music?
music was very important. I'd spend years trying to find the right piece of music to be perfect. And mm-hmm. for Walter's thing, I didn't want to do it like Walter. Walter made a sure. classic for himself, so I had to do it. I was a big Sinatra fan, and new Sinatra, so I did a little Come Fly With Me, mm-hmm. you know, thing with, I've had a lot of fun with it.
Yes, right. And I know it was your favorite illusion because it was something you could travel with easily, I guess, whenever you were doing appearances.
Very, very practical, and I wish I had it just for me.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much for hosting this and for honoring Walter.
My pleasure, and it's such an honor for us, too.
Yeah, thank you. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was David Copperfield. This is Scotty Allen. So we're now back at the hotel. We're back from David Copperfield's museum, where we had a special honor by David for Mr. Walter Zany Blaney. And Walter, here you are. Hello, Walter.
It's good to talk again.
Yes, it's
good. My old friend Scott Wells, yeah. We go back a long way.
We do. We certainly do. And I'm glad I got to be a part of this then this evening. It was quite an honor. Was this something you were kind of expecting to have this display
Well, it was kind of a secret, but it couldn't be all the way secret because I had to ship my sawing.
Yeah.
And Institute of Texas Act and the costume. They had a mannequin dressed like me in my original costume, boots, Stetson, and the whole thing.
Because he bought your whole collection. Basically, Copperfield said, I want everything that you've got.
Well,
since you're no longer doing
this time, he didn't have to buy it. I gave it all to him.
How nice. Yeah.
And because he's my buddy. And anyway, and he invited us to see his show tonight.
Yeah.
And it's just the God's greatest show on earth. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And he does that two or three times a night.
Well, I know you guys kind of have a bromance with each other. I mean, both of you really love each other. I can tell.
Yeah,
you know, you've known him for a long time. And vice versa.
Saw him when he was 18 in Magic Man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were in Chicago. You saw his Magic Man.
Jay Marshall took me. He said, there's a young magician that I think you want to see. I said, sure. And his name is David Copperfield, and he's in kind of a play.
Yeah.
He's like the main actor, and he plays the part of a magician.
Yeah.
Just like Robert Houdin said, you know, he played the part of a magician.
Right.
But what a magician at 18.
Yeah.
He
and
was
you can
already
tell right away back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just completely different.
Yeah.
Storyteller and everything back then, even.
Well, it was a lot of fun and a good honor that that you got there with him and everything. So, congratulations.
Yeah, he had about 15 or 20 of my best friends in magic that he invited to this little group tonight. And you're one of them.
I'm glad I got to be part of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you were.
That's the best. Well, Walter, thank you again. And for people who want to hear more stories from Walter Blaney, just go back in the archives. I got a lot of good stuff from my buddy here. So thank you, Walter.
My pleasure. Okay. Thanks, Scott.
For the Magic Word Podcast. That was Walter Zany Blaney. Scotty out. Thank you.